Good evening, each one. I invite you to take your Bibles out, please. Be open to the Old Testament, to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2, please. 2 Kings, chapter 2. We appreciate, of course, the presence of each one with us tonight. We do have visitors, and we appreciate you coming our way so much. And always view our visitors as our honored guest. Those look like two ferocious angry bears, don't they? But ladies and gentlemen and young people, there's a Bible story connected to that. And I just asked you to turn your Bibles to that text of 2 Kings chapter 2. And it does pertain to young people. So here we go, 2 Kings 2, verse 23 beginning. Speaking of Elisha the prophet, we read, "Then he went up from there to Bethel, and as he was going up the road, some youths came from the city and mocked him and said to him, 'Go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head.' So he turned around and looked at them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. Then he went from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria." And that's it, those three verses. Quite a story contained there in the book of 2 Kings in chapter 2. But we think about why. Why did Elisha pronounce his curse? Why did God allow that and support that? Because he called upon, in the name of the Lord, he pronounced that curse. The Lord obviously gave his approval as those two female bears came out of the woods and then mauled those 42 youths. Well, what were they doing? What was so wrong? Well, they were mocking a spokesman of God. These youths were ridiculing, making fun of a prophet. And they obviously did not fear God, and they did not fear the messenger of God who God had sent to Israel. But this gives us a real good understanding and insight of how God feels about young people showing respect and honor and kindness to those who are older than them, to those who are elders, those in positions of authority. And for these youths to carry on in such a immature and foolish and godless way really reflects, I think, probably back on their homes. But you think about where we're at this time and this period of God's people. We're up in Israel. We're up in a very ungodly nation where there was no righteous king, beginning with Jeroboam after the kingdom split, right? Jeroboam all the way to the final king of Israel, Hoshea, before the Assyrians took him into captivity. None of the kings were righteous. They had many more false prophets than true prophets. And so many of the homes of Israel, even though it's still God's people, Abraham's descendants, would have been very wicked, ungodly homes. And it's really very reminiscent of many homes today and how many youths turn out. And they're wild and they're rebellious and they're disrespectful. And they can be destructive. And we see them going into stores and making a mess and into the mall and harassing those just walking down the sidewalk and hearing news stories of them sucker punching someone from behind. See, there's been youths like that for a long time in this world who are not coming from godly homes and don't act in godly ways, because I know the young people here would have never, ever have even thought about treating a prophet of God like that, speaking to a prophet of God like that. I know our young people here would have spoken to Elisha with respect and would have been happy to be in his presence and sit at his feet to receive teaching of the Lord from him. But I also know, as I just said, we have young people in the world today that would have done a similar way, mocked him, ridiculed him, made fun of him. You know, the mocking of God's messengers was one of the sins that Israel was charged with. In 2 Chronicles, in chapter 36, and in verse 16, notice what we read there. In 2 Chronicles 36, in verse 16, speaking of God's people, it says, "But they mocked the messengers of God, despised His words, and scoffed at His prophets." So Elisha wasn't the only one treated this way, being mocked and being scoffed and being ridiculed. They did it to many of God's faithful prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against His people, till there was no remedy. And God's long-suffering was extinguished and judgment fell upon His people. But that's how, sadly, many of God's people treated the messengers of God. Like Elisha, they mocked them, they scoffed at them. You know, under the law of Moses, we read in Leviticus 19 and verse 32 that the children of Israel were commanded by God to honor those who were older. So in Leviticus 19 and verse 32, we read, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God." And here's the reason given, "For I am the Lord." And so if these young people had been taught God's word, there was no way they would have ever spoken or treated a prophet like that, a parent like that, an adult like that, because an older person like that, because they would have been taught from God's word, you're supposed to show respect for those who are older. You're supposed to honor, not dishonor, honor the presence of an old man. Fear your God. I am the Lord. You know, honor for the aged has been an abiding principle throughout the pages of the Scriptures. And we might think about this story here that we have, and these two female bears that come out and maul, tear apart, and kill 42 young people. And say, well, that curse that he pronounced upon these young people, that seems kind of overboard, right? It seems kind of harsh and severe. Well, we would do well to remember that back in Exodus, in chapter 21 and verse 17, "And he who curses his father or his mother shall what? Surely be put to death." We read that same teaching in Leviticus chapter 20 and in verse 9. And Deuteronomy chapter 18, a situation arises there among the children of Israel where there is a rebellious son. And the parents have tried to get him to obey them. They have tried and ultimately in vain to control him, and he's out of control. And what are we going to do with him? And this is what is said: "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them," later in verse 21, "then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear." You think anybody heard about two female bears that came out of the woods and killed 42 youths, and why those 42 youths were killed by the two female bears? You think word maybe got out about that? Probably. You think anybody spoke about the prophet Elisha like that after that? I seriously doubt it, right? "But all Israel shall hear," and what? "They shall fear." You see, God just did through Elisha and his curse and one swell swoop upon 42 youths that was supposed to be done with young people under the law of Moses if they cursed father and mother, if they were stubborn and rebellious and did not obey the voice of their parents. And again, the point is that God has always taken very seriously young people showing respect and honor to their parents, yes, those who are older, those in positions of authority. And I know the parents here striving to teach and instill that in the hearts and minds of our children, our young people, right? In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 17, "The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it." That's pretty severe language again, right? Very strong language there. But again, dealing with young people and children that would mock one's father, that would scorn obeying what mom has said for me to do, and take it very lightly, make fun of it, make light of it. God doesn't take that very lightly. We may, young people may, but God certainly does not.
And we might say, well, that's the Old Testament. Yes, it is the Old Testament. We're not told in the New Testament, parents are not told in the New Testament, if your son or daughter were to curse you or disobey you, take them out and stone them. No. But the penalty ultimately, we could say, is even more harsh and severe than two female bears coming out of the woods and mauling those 42 ewes. In Romans chapter 1, the context going back to verse 18, where it talks about the wrath of God has been revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men. And then we have quite a descriptive text of ungodly people in this world. Eventually we get down here to verse 30, and it even mentions young people who are disobedient to their parents. And they're mentioned, those who would disobey their parents are mentioned with the sexually immoral and the murderers and so on. And he says, who knowing, verse 32, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are what? They're deserving of death. That's in the New Testament. They're deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Paul would later write to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. And he would say in verses 1 and 2, on the signs that we're living in perilous times is young people who are disobedient to their parents. We got a lot of that, don't we? We live in perilous times. A lot of young people who are rebellious and they're disrespectful to those who are older than them, those who are in positions of authority in the home to their parents. That's a sign, the Bible says, of perilous times. They are deserving of death. And if they don't repent, where are they going to end up? In the lake of fire and brimstone, right? The second death. Hell for all eternity. So yeah, we might think those two female bears, that's pretty harsh, that curse. Well, if we have young people like that today and they don't get their lives right with God, it's going to be worse than the two female bears we read about in 2 Kings 2. And so let's think about young people, and even those of us who are older, who still have our parents. The Bible still teaches us who are older to show respect and honor for our parents, doesn't it? In Ephesians chapter 6, and before we get there, I meant to introduce again the title chart, but I want to speak to the young people tonight about showing respect and kindness toward our family, toward your family. Showing respect and kindness to one's family. And let these bears remind you of the importance of doing that. And again, how God takes this matter very, very seriously, and so thus we must as well. But we come to Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 1, where children are told to obey their parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. God said to, right? God said to, so I need to do that. You need to do that. And it's the right thing to do. In Colossians 3, companion passage, you'll notice in verse 20, Colossians 3 and verse 20, children, obey your parents, notice, in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And so the next time maybe you're struggling with doing something your mom or dad has told you to do, think about these two scriptures, young people. Think about children, obey your parents in the Lord. That command is connected to the Lord. And this passage says it pleases the Lord. And certainly I know our young people want to please the Lord. And also, let us emphasize again in verse 20 of Colossians 3 that we, young people, you're to obey your parents in all things. Not just the things that you want to do and that you like, but even in maybe a task they give you that is not so pleasant. And certainly we give those to our children sometimes. I certainly received those things I didn't want to do. But guess what? Dad said to do it. That settles it. Okay? Unless it was something wrong, and I don't recall any time Dad ever asked me to do something that was wrong.
But he certainly gave me some responsibilities and some work and some tasks to do I did not really want to do. But that really was not the issue. The issue was Dad said do it, so it needs to be done. And if it wasn't done, I knew there would have been consequences. Well, same thing with Mom. Mom says do this, I need to do it. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. If you notice, please, back in that book of wisdom in the Old Testament. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. So here's Dad's command. Here's Mom's law. In other words, here's their instructions. Dad said, do this, do it. Mom says, do that, do it. Right? And that's what we'll notice that's consistent, right? Doesn't matter if we're talking Old Testament, New Testament. That teaching, that truth has not changed when it comes to the children's responsibilities to their parents. And so I want to ask you a number of questions in light of these passages, young people, for you to think about and ponder with me tonight. Consider, do you obey immediately? When your parents give you instruction, go clean your room, fold the laundry, rake leaves, take the trash out, whatever it may be, pick up your dirty clothes, get them out of the bathroom, go hang your towel up, whatever it may be, do you obey immediately? And if not, why not? It may be a matter of didn't hear them, that's one thing, but if you heard them, go do it. Obey. That's what the Bible says, right? Children, obey your parents when you feel like it and can get around to it. And when you finish what you're doing, no. Unless they give you permission, yes, you can finish what you're doing, then do it. Otherwise, you need to do it right then. Do you delay obedience? Sometimes children do, right? Sometimes we delay obedience. Is that the right thing to do? Children, obey your parents from the Lord? No. They say to do it, I need to do it right away, not delay it. Let me ask you, young people, do you ever ignore their instructions? Do you ever just ignore them? Do you ever ignore their commands to you and just act like you didn't hear them, or just you heard them and just don't do them? And if and when you do that, is that obedience to them? Is that honoring? Is that respectful? And of course, the answer is no to that. And do you fully obey the command given? In other words, partial obedience, right? Go clean your room. I cleaned it. Parent comes in and checks. No, you didn't. Still a mess. Maybe to you, for some reason, that looks clean, but that's not clean. I see where you did pick up some things. That's good. Maybe give them some encouragement, but give them some encouragement. You need to finish that. You need to do a better job. You need to clean everything in this room. And then you can go do this or that. But you need to obey me. Do you argue? Do you ever argue with your parents why you shouldn't have to do so? And if so, don't do that. That's not the right thing to do. Children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. But if you don't like it, go ahead and argue with them. No, that's not respectful. That's not obeying them. Do you make excuses and pass blame for failing to do as instructed? I might have a little experience with this. You may as well also in your home with our four children. I have some experience with it. April and I have some experience with this. And I can think back to, obviously, growing up with my three sisters. I have some personal experience with that when I was younger, about making excuses, trying to pass blame and put it on someone else for failing to do as I was told to do. And yeah, that happens in our home. Does it ever happen in your home? Young people, think about this. That's not something that's well-pleasing the Lord. Father and mother gives you instructions to obey and to do. Just do it. Just do it. We read the next few verses in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. You know what the word honor means? You know what the word honor means? The term honor means to treat as a thing of value or to count as precious. And young people, stop and think about that with me. If we treat our father and mother as something of value, as we count them as precious, then how is that going to affect everyday life in the home, right? I mean, if you value your mother, are you going to speak disrespectfully to her? No. If you value and count your father as precious, are you going to disobey him? No. If it happens, it'll be very rare. If you really honor your father and your mother. And so children's relationship to their fathers and mothers, as God designed it, starts with the perception of parental worth, the parents' worth. Okay? And God said, you do that. The Lord said, you do that. Why? That it may be well with you, that you may have a longer life on this earth, because you're listening and respecting the direction and teachings of godly parents, right? And so let me ask you some questions again. Do you speak respectfully to your mom and dad? Many times that doesn't happen, right, with young people. They don't speak respectfully. And that doesn't, when that happens, that's not showing honor. Do you ever raise your voice or yell at your parents? And I don't mean yell to be heard because they're downstairs and you're upstairs, or you're downstairs and they're upstairs. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you yelling at them. You're angry, you're mad or whatever. Do you ever do that? And if you do, is that showing them honor? And of course the answer is obviously no. Do you talk back to them? Do you talk back to them? And again, I stand before you, unfortunately, as one who speaks from personal experience, who at times in my youth did that foolishly and wrongly, spoke back, gave a smart aleck answer, right? And that tongue, as the Bible says, it's a fire, right? And we had to bridle it, had to bring it under control. But we have to remember, these are instructions the Lord has given us, young people, have given to us, children, that we honor, that we obey our father and mother. So do you talk back to them? And how's your tone of voice when you speak to them? Is it calm? You speak agitated? Do you speak with kindness? Do you speak harshly because you're upset by something they told you to do or something they told you to stop doing? And is that showing honor? Tone of voice matters, right? You know, I could say yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, in a very disrespectful way. You thought about that? Because the words yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, in and of themselves, that sounds respectful, doesn't it? And it typically is. But you can say those words that in normal conditions would be very respectful, but the tone of voice you use can exhibit a sarcasm, an agitation, a harshness to them, right? Just saying yes, the way we say it. We need to teach our young people, we need to teach them respect and honor, and young people, we need to think about these things. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Parents are taught to train up a child. Train up a child in the way he should go. Of course, that's generic. In the way he or she should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. That means we have work to do, don't we, parents? Most important work that's given to us from heaven itself is raising our children. Right? You get married, you have children, you have this great responsibility then to train them up, guide them in the way that they should go. So parents, I've been directing a lot of things to young people. Let me direct these things to the parents. Parents, are you striving to bring your children up in the training and admonition of the Lord? Is that your daily focus? And it needs to be. It needs to be our daily focus. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6:4 says. And do you expect, parents, do you expect and insist that your children obey you at all times? You should. We must. We ought to expect it. We ought to insist upon it. Right? And are there consequences when that doesn't occur? When they don't obey you, when they are disrespectful, are there consequences? I can tell you in my home growing up, there were consequences for sure with both my father and my mother. There were consequences, and the consequences varied, and they were different, and they were different also at different ages and stages of my life, but there were always consequences. To teach me and to teach my sisters what God is teaching us, that we must obey our parents and we must show them honor, treat them honorably, and when we don't, that there are consequences to that. We see the consequences that were quite severe, right, in the Word of God. Do you expect and require that they treat you with honor by speaking and acting respectfully? And again, that's how we need to be training up our children, with that expectation, with that requirement, that you treat me with honor. And dads, when the son or the daughter doesn't treat mom with respect, that jump in right then, right away, and they need to be set straight. And you're not going to speak to mom like that. And when mom says to do this, you need to do it right away. You understand? And sometimes because it's dad, right? Sometimes because it's dad and dad says it, that gets their attention a little quicker. But yes, we need to teach our sons, we need to teach our daughters to respect and love and honor their mother, don't we? We need to do that. James Dobson, who's written a lot about parenting, and he has a lot of good things to say, I believe, but he talks about winning early in his book, Dare to Discipline. When a parent loses the early confrontations with the child, the later conflicts become harder to win. The parent who never wins, who is too weak or too tired or too busy to win, is making a costly mistake that will come back to haunt him during the child's adolescence. If you can't make a 5-year-old pick up his toys, it's unlikely that you will exercise any impressive degree of control during his adolescence, the most defiant time of life. It is important to understand that adolescence is a condensation or composite of all the training and behavior that has gone on before. Any unsettled matter in the first 12 years is likely to fester and erupt during adolescence. Does that make sense to you? You agree with that? If a parent can't make a 5-year-old pick up his toy when he's told to pick it up, or she's told to pick it up, how's that going to work out when he or she hits 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 and you never train them early on to obey and you never train them early on to honor you? It's not going to turn out too well, is it? It's going to be very difficult, very challenging, probably very heartbreaking. And so we have to make the early years count. Train up a child. Didn't say train up a teenager, right? There's a reason it didn't say train up a teenager, train up a child in the way they should go. Even as a baby, as a toddler, as an infant, as a small person, right? Like Lois and Eunice did for Timothy. Be training them, be teaching them. Make them wise with the Scriptures unto salvation. I also want to say a little bit about the treatment of one's siblings in our lesson tonight. Now, you know, there's really not any obvious scriptures least that I know of, to go to. Yes, there's passages about brothers and sisters. There's those. But in specific instructions like we have, say, in Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, in Colossians 3, 20, in parenting, in marriage passages and that sort of thing, not so much on the siblings. But when I think about the sibling relationship, brothers and sisters, I think it's easy to compare it to the spiritual relationship that we have with our brothers and sisters in Christ and how we're to treat one another, right? I think that can be applied in the principles there applied to the home. You know, in Romans 12, verse 10, as brothers and sisters in Christ, it says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, and honor giving preference to one another. Those same teachings can very easily and effectively and very needed, I think, be applied to our children and their relationship with one another, right? We have many families here with multiple children, for the most part, I think. With rare exception, two or more. A second one's on the way over here. But two or more, right? For the most part. Some single. But the way you treat your brother, the way you treat your sister, again, God cares about that. He cares about how we treat our brothers and sisters in Christ. He also cares about how we treat each other in the home. And when you think about being kindly affectionate to our brothers and sisters in the home, to give preference to them. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9. You go back to the very first brother relationship, sibling relationship we read about in the Bible. What is it? It's Genesis 4, right? It's Cain and Abel. You think about if Cain possessed these attitudes in his heart and mind, then he would never have rose up against his brother Abel and killed him, right? Now, it doesn't mean he wouldn't have got angry at Abel like he did and maybe, you know, been bothered by the fact that he was rejected by God, his sacrifice, and his brother Abel was accepted. But certainly, if he loved his brother, he would have been kind to his brother, shown brotherly love, and certainly not rose up and killed him, right? You think about when there was a conflict between Abraham and his nephew Lot. Well, at least their herdsmen, you remember that? Both of them had been so blessed by God, and they had so many possessions, so many animals, and there started to be strife. And so Abram, the uncle, comes to the nephew Lot, and he said to him, please, let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen. What was the reason he gave? For we are brethren. We're family. We're brethren. Let's not allow this to continue. So what did they do? They separated. They got some space between them so it would not continue to escalate and become more severe and maybe permanently damage that relationship, which it did not ultimately. But we need to think about that and get that principle of truth there, young people. Those of you who have brothers and sisters, and how we speak to them, how you treat them, how you view them, how you look upon them. God expects there to be love there. He expects there to be mutual respect there. And remember your family. That's your family. That's your blood. And so can you honestly say that you treat your siblings as you would like to be treated? Do you treat your brother the way you want to be treated? Do you treat your sister the way you want to be treated? And, you know, this is oftentimes referred to as the golden rule, right? There in Matthew 7, verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do unto you, do also to them, Jesus said. That's a good thing to keep in mind. When you go home, when you get in the car tonight, the truck, the van, whatever you drive. You get in there with your brothers and sisters, whatever the case may be. You think about this. When you speak to them, the things you do, the things you don't do. Think about this. Are you speaking to them? Are you treating them as you would want to be spoken to, as you would want to be treated by them? Okay? Jesus wants us to think this way and then act upon that. Can you say that the law of kindness is on your tongue and how you speak? Yes, to your parents, but also to your siblings, to your brothers and sisters. That's not always the case, is it? It's not always the case. I know it's not in our home. Maybe that's true sometimes in your home. Speak with the law of kindness on your tongue. That's one of the characteristics of the virtuous woman and wife and mother of Proverbs 31, verse 26. She had the law of kindness on her tongue. And we all need that. We all need that. The law of kindness on our tongue. The way we speak to our spouse. The way we speak to our parents. The way we speak even to our brothers and sisters, our siblings. Right? Do you tend to respond to your sibling with a soft answer or a harsh word? You remember what the wise man said about that in Proverbs 15 and verse 1? In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1, we read, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." That's so hard to remember or even think about in the moment when we're agitated, upset with our brother or with our sister, to kind of pause for a second or two and think about what God says about that, and to speak a soft answer and what that's going to do. It's going to turn away wrath. Instead of stirring things up more and start getting more upset with each other and maybe yelling at each other, what will quickly diffuse that is God's wisdom here if we'll listen to it. In all our relationships is a soft answer instead of a harsh word. Because a harsh word, that just stirs up more anger. And things get escalated from there. Do you treat your brothers and sisters, your siblings, and even their things, their belongings, their possessions, do you treat them with respect? You think about that, right? Children, young people, they have their toys. And as they get older, they still have their toys. They just have changed with age and maturity many times, right? But still, it's important to teach our sons and our daughters, teach them it matters how you treat them and how you even treat their things. And how, again, going back to Matthew 7:12, how you want them to treat the things that are yours with respect. Right? Ephesians 4:32, God says to us, be kind to one another. We need to be reminded about that. How important kindness is. Just to be kind. Kind, and that starts with our thoughts, and then it comes out of our mouths, our words that we speak to one another. Is it kindness? Am I acting with kindness? And to teach our children how important it is to be kind. The way they treat others. And it begins in the home. Because if we can get it right in the home, then it's going to help them get it right in the world. Right? It all begins in the home, though. If we can help our young people get it right in the home by training them up in the way they should go, to know the Lord, to love the Lord, to love their parents, to respect their parents' authority, how are they going to speak and treat their teachers in school? They're going to respect them. They're going to obey them, right? And their principal, and the police officer, and the fireman, and their neighbor, and the elderly. It all goes back to where? The home. And how we're raising them, and what we're teaching them. What we're allowing, what we're not allowing, and what we're permitting, and we're not permitting in their behavior and in their conduct. But it all goes back to the home. 2 Peter 1:7, one of the things that we are told to add to our faith is self-control. We need to teach ourselves that. We need to teach our children that, to exhibit self-control with their tongue, with their actions, and how they speak and treat others, beginning with their parents and with their siblings. But I think And I believe you would agree that this is such an important lesson, not because I'm teaching it, that has nothing at all to do with it, but because we see this common theme throughout the Bible and how important it is to God that we would show respect and kindness towards our family. And then it's going to radiate from there out of the home, will it not? Some of the best youths, young people in this country or any country, almost always can be traced back to their upbringing. And even if they're not coming truly from Christian homes, parents that are members of the Lord's church, but they're coming from at least a home that believes in God, fears God, views the Bible as God's Word. They're being taught those important principles of morality and against forms of immorality. Those are going to be your young people, typically, indeed, that are going to show the respect and honor to not just to their parents and to their siblings, but to everyone. And so, young people, don't forget about that story in the Old Testament of 2 Kings 2 about two female bears. When a prophet of God was mocked and belittled, and he pronounced a curse on those young people, and 42 youths were mauled, and he pronounced that curse in the name of the Lord. So the Lord approved of it. The Lord gave his approval. And I don't think if you show disrespect to your parents, a bear is going to come out of the woods and maul you to death, okay? And I don't want to make light of it as we close the lesson, but we see in the New Testament the consequences still will be severe for those who disobey their parents, those who do not treat their parents with respect and obedience. If you will, take out your hymn book, open the song of invitation, please. Here's God's plan of salvation. You'll find it in the Word of God. You'll find in the New Testament, more specifically, Christ, the Son of God, left heaven and gave His life upon the cross of Calvary, shed His blood that we might be saved and cleansed from every lawless deed, every sin. Here's God's grace. There's God's mercy. But there are things that are required of us to receive that salvation, that forgiveness, that cleansing, and to become children of God and have the hope of heaven. And so we must hear the gospel of Christ. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And we must make up our minds whether we're going to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that we may be saved, John 3:16 and John 20:30 and 31. And we are commanded, all men are commanded, in fact, to repent of our sins. Why? Because we've all sinned. Right? We've all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:20. The wages of sin is death. And so we must repent, turn away from our sins. And with our mouth we must not deny, but we must confess Jesus Christ is Lord. God raised Him from the dead and believe that. Confess that, Romans 10:9 and 10, if we're going to be saved. And I know it's controversial, but it's very plainly over and over in the Scriptures. There's also that command to be baptized into Christ. Not because water, we believe, is going to save us, but because God commanded us. And if we're going to be cleansed from our sins, we have to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. We have to be baptized into His death, Romans 6:3 and 4, to have our sins, the Bible says, washed away. So why tarry yourself? If you know what you need to do, why are you tarrying? Arise and be baptized. Have thy sins washed away, and then be faithful the rest of your life, that you may receive the crown of life, that is heaven. So let Him have His way with thee as we stand and as we sing.